I would like to say that I have really appreciated Southern hospitality since we've been here. The warm welcome, I have felt that, and I appreciate it very much. I remember coming down here some 30 years ago as a young person, and I remember seeing different of the young people that had chosen the downward road. And it troubled me. And different times when I think about some of those same people, my heart is heavy. I long for souls. I'd like to see people turn and get on the right road. The burden of my heart tonight is remorse, which is moral anguish arising from repentance for past misdeeds, bitter regret. Have you ever made a decision that you regretted bitterly? I made one a few years ago. I listened to the dentist, and he convinced me that I needed a cap on my front tooth, upper tooth. So I thought, well, cap's not a problem. It's something you put on the outside of a tooth, protects the tooth. That'd be all right. I didn't know that he was going to take a grinder to my natural tooth and take it down to a little pointed stub and put a false tooth on. Well, that's what I got. And he told me, this will be on forever. Well, it wasn't. After I got overseas, where I didn't have a lot of good dental care, tooth came off. And I really look a sight without that tooth, especially with that little stub sticking down. And not just once. I would sneeze sometimes and out would come that tooth. And one time I was at camp meeting and I was eating lunch and I bit into some bread and I thought I swallowed that tooth. And I went around camp meeting looking that way. I tell you, I regretted that bitterly, letting that man grind my tooth away. And I thought, surely my natural tooth would have been better. When I got the false tooth, it just wasn't the same. It was thicker. It felt funny. And the first one I got, I couldn't even seem to talk right. It seemed like I had a little lisp or something. Just not quite the same. Well, a natural tooth is one thing. I only need it for so long. But you know, people are making many decisions in their life that they will regret someday very bitterly. And if somehow tonight we can help convince you to not make some of those decisions, it will have been worthwhile. Amen. Bitter regret. Have you ever made a decision that way? All of us have, haven't we? Decisions that we wish we could go back, rewind time, do it again, and change the decision that we made. There are things that I've wished, oh, I hope they don't remember that, that the thing that I said. I sure hope they can't remember that. And I'm talking things decades ago. Bitter regret. Folks, it's good to live our lives in such a way that we can avoid remorse to the best that we can. Saints of God get old. And there's one thing I keep hearing from them. And that not that they regret getting saved. But I hear from them over and over, I regret that I did not do it sooner. That is their regret. Well, I think of the song, Precious Memories, How They Linger. How they ever thrill my soul. You know, that's one of the rewards to a saint that gets older. Precious memories. Looking back, a life of blessing, a life of fullness. So precious. That's one of the benefits of being saved. But sinners get old too. And instead of precious memories, they have remorse. I think of the song that says, if we shall scatter tares in the fallow, how shall we hope that they shall not grow? We cannot gather wheat for the garner, if only useless weeds we shall sow. People are sowing things in their lives today that someday they're going to regret. I'd like to read Hebrews 12 and 16. we heard about Esau in this meeting. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He got to a place in life that he made a decision, and he regretted that bitterly. He had remorse. But although he had all of that, somehow he could not go back. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27, and it came to pass, and verse 30, it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine I have sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. I can imagine these two boys growing up together. And you know how boys are. They probably got into some fusses and some fights. And in my imagination, I can see Esau saying, well, maybe you tricked me that time, but I'm the one that has a birthright. In the Jewish culture, the firstborn was the favored son, was the one that was valued. And perhaps Esau lorded that over his brother Jacob. But when the day came that somehow the table switched, and somehow he lost that place of favor. Esau was a hunter. I imagine there were times that he was out there with plenty of time on his hands to think. And I imagine there was some remorse. I imagine he thought of all the blessing in life, all of the inheritance that he threw away in a moment's time. Folks, let me tell you something. You make some of these decisions in life. You make the decision to walk out that door and ignore the voice of the Lord. Not to yield yourself when you hear the voice of the Lord. When the Lord's conviction is dealing with your heart. When you decide, I can keep that in my life anyway. When the Lord has touched something in your life. Yes. Then there will come a time that you're going to have some time on your hands. And you're going to look back with some remorse. Some anguish of soul. And realize, amen, I lost something. I hope tonight that we can spare you some of that, if you'll consider the seriousness of remorse. When I was a young man, the Lord impressed a thought on my mind. And that is, there is not a sin that you can commit that you will not regret someday bitterly. Sooner or later, any kind of sin you can commit, sooner or later, you will regret it bitterly. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Some men choose to repent in this life. They have remorse. They recognize, I messed up in life. I need to go a different way. And they come and confess their sins. And they send those sins on to the judgment through their confession. And they're all taken care of. But then other men will not confess. They will not humble themselves at an altar of prayer. They will not go back and clear their lives up. And those sins are trailing right behind them up to the judgment. Talk about remorse, folks. There is not a sin you can commit that you won't regret someday, bitterly.
Amen.
Well, remorse can also be a good thing if we can feel this deep anguish, if we can have this bitter regret, and it makes a change in our life. We decide, I'm going to get rid of that thing. I don't want it anymore. That can be a good thing. I hope someone tonight will make that decision and not put it off and let those sins follow them to the judgment and then have remorse for all eternity. Mark had it made in life. He was elected as United States representative to Congress from the state of Florida. He had prestige. He had money. He had power. Then it all came apart. Mark's homosexual messages to young men came to light, and Mark resigned his office in disgrace. Mark had been close to his father over the years. His father had helped Mark in campaigning. But then Mark's father was diagnosed with cancer. Not long after Mark's resignation, his father died due to complications from cancer. But he lived long enough to learn of his son's disgrace. Former U.S. Representative Mark Foley sobbed as he delivered a eulogy at his father's graveside. He spoke in reference to his resignation from Congress amid a scandal which was disheartening to his dad. "I disappointed him so much," Mark said, crying, while surrounded by about 50 friends and family. "But he was so good of a man." Folks, remorse is bitter. There his father lie in the casket. No opportunity to go back and undo the lifestyle that he chose. "Dad was proud of me. Son, you made it. We worked hard and you got to it, and I'm so proud of you and I want you to know it." Those memories probably came back to Mark and haunted him. He probably remembered days that his dad took him while he was young and innocent. "Hey, buddy, let's go fishing." Those memories probably haunted Mark. Folks, remorse is tough. Mark wasn't thinking of those things while he was indulging in sinful pleasures. But remorse caught up with him. No opportunity to go back and say, "Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm going to do better in life." I imagine his father there getting word. "My son did what?" Can you imagine the chagrin, the shame, the disappointment?
Yeah.
You know, folks, when we make these choices, it doesn't just affect us.
That's right.
It hurts some of the ones that we love the most.
Yes, that's so.
Oh, I hope I can save someone tonight from making some of those decisions. Or encourage you, I want to say. I can't save you from that. It's up to you. But if I can encourage someone tonight, don't make that decision. When the Lord speaks to you, listen. Amen. Obey. Humble your heart. Don't go that way. There is a scripture in Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, and verse 20. To me, is a very sad scripture. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now, to say we are not saved would not quite be quite so sad, except that it's saying the harvest is already past and the summer is ended. It's too late for me to get out there and plant my crops and to harvest them. It's over. And now when I finally wake up to the life that I've been living, when I finally realize that the seeds I've been planting are not the harvest that I want to reap, it's already over. How is it that when we are young and need wisdom the most, sometimes we seem to have the least of it? And when we're old and are able to look back with wisdom and make good decisions, the time has already passed and the opportunity is gone. Oh, I would tonight that someone would listen. Amen. And someone would say, before it's over for me, before my time is out, while I still have opportunity, I'm going to make a good decision. I'm going to get rid of those things in my life that will cause me remorse. Amen. And if somebody else found out about it, it would cause them all kinds of pain. Folks, tonight is an opportunity to get those things out of your life. Aristo Onassis built a large financial empire in shipping and aviation. He had a fleet of around 100 super tankers, and he owned an airline. He was a Greek man. He was married at one time to the widow of President John Kennedy, Jacqueline. Mr. Onassis had a wild temper and a foul mouth. He loved the pleasures of life, luxury, fine food, power. Mr. Onassis was given to adultery and sinful pleasures. Mr. Onassis was the type of man in his dealings with his fellow employees, with his business partners. He was the type of man that was very strong-willed. And if he made a mistake, he would never apologize for that mistake. He would deal with people in such a violent temper and such a tirade of awful words that it would bring people into subjection and never go back and apologize for that, even when it was proven that he was wrong. One day, a phone call came that Alexandros, his son, went down in an airplane. His only son lay dying in a hospital. Mr. Aristo Onassis told reporters that he had offered all his ships and planes and money to save his son's life. But still, the doctors had informed him there was no hope. Later in life, Aristo's health failed and he became sicker and sicker. Those who loved him tried to revive his interest in life. He refused to eat and would sit staring straight ahead. This is a man that was once full of life. He would go out to the nightclubs and party at night and come in and put in a hard day's work the next day, and people were amazed at the energy that he had. But he reached a place in life of remorse. He reached a place where, look, can we give you some food? We fixed it really nice this time. Instead of sending the servants with it, his sister herself brought the food, fixed it up fancy. Aristo, staring straight ahead. A changed man. She begged and she pleaded, his sister. She cried and she moaned. She joked and told stories. I told him every business detail I could think of, his personal secretary. But he just looked straight ahead, his eyes appearing to see nothing. When he did talk to me, his words were filled with guilt. I had a chance to love my son, but I was too busy. And I did not use that chance. I never gave him enough love. I was too busy to love my own son. Remorse.
Yes.
Sins. A life filled with sins.
Yes.
Rich beyond our imagination almost. Folks, he had pleasures. There are a lot of people who trade places with a man like that. He would take his helicopter. He would have his pilot helicopter him over to an island just to meet up with somebody in a way that he shouldn't. There are plenty of people in today's world that would love that kind of opportunity. This man had it, and he took advantage of it. But now they couldn't even get him interested in food. Remorse is heavy, folks. My heart has been heavy for souls that have come here, that have been in these seats, that have been under the sound of the gospel, and go their way.
Yes. Amen.
No matter what I said to him, he would not listen to me. I do not want to live, he told me over and over. I have lost my son. I have lost everything. When the doctor, when the doctors explained to Mr. Onassis that he would never survive without surgery, he asked to see his doctor alone. If I give you all my ships and all my money, can you make me completely well? The doctor could not. And Mr. Onassis died on March 15th of 1975. Time for business, time for pleasure, time to revel on in sin. Will you not take time for Jesus? Oh, invite Him to come in. Or else face remorse like this man did. I think of the rich man in hell. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Son, remember in your lifetime you had your good things.
Yeah.
Remember that, son. Yes, I remember. I remember walking right by the synagogue and hearing them in there reading the prophets. And I was on my own way. I remember. Oh, if I would have just turned in. If I would have just allowed the Spirit of the Lord a chance to deal with my heart. Remorse. Anguish, bitter regret. Son, you remember you had your good times.
Yes.
You remember the parties, the feasts, the wine, the dancing women. You remember all that, my son? Yes, I remember. And I remember that I had opportunity. I walked right by and saw that beggar. I could have spent time going around saying, are there any orphan children around here? The Lord has blessed me. I'm doing fine. Are there any orphans that I could help? Is there an old person that is sick and lonely that I could cheer up a little bit? But no, I was too busy. Remorse.
Yes.
Too many people are going to have remorse. I want to warn you tonight. Turn. Change your life.
Amen.
So that you won't experience the same thing. I'm thinking of people that are in hellfire tonight. It was some 20 years ago that I worked with a man in Los Angeles. He was a little old man and he was a pipe smoker. He was past retirement age, but he was working. And this man, I remember, had a foul mouth. And one time somebody told him, so-and-so wants such-and-such. And his response was this. Well, the people in hell would like to have ice water piped to them too, but they're not going to get it. It wasn't very long till that man left this world and went into eternity. Remorse. Folks, you don't take eternity lightly.
Amen.
People are making a mockery of God. They're rejecting the saints. They're talking about the saints. They're saying all that stuff isn't necessary.
Yes, sir.
Just like that man that made a mockery of folks being in hell and not realizing how soon that he would be out in eternity himself. I wonder if that statement has come back to his mind about them wanting ice water. Remorse is a tough thing to deal with. I imagine people in hell tonight that would be willing to say, I would never say another hateful word to my wife. I wouldn't cheat on my taxes again, Lord. Give me one more chance. I'll go back and ask that person forgiveness. I'm willing now. Remorse. Will it be you? Are you going to be saying those same types of things someday? It's bitter. It is a bitter regret. We know a young lady in Honduras. Her name is Yvette. Yvette lives in the ghettos. And she lives a lifestyle of drug use and fornication. She's a single mother of, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 children. Totally unable to support any of them. And as she just keeps having children, she'll pass them off to this one or that one. It is so sad. And during the time that she was carrying a baby, she was continuing to use drugs. Well, it's easy for us to look at a person like that and feel some contempt. Kind of look down on a person like that, isn't it? One day we got word that Yvette's son was killed, 16 years old. We went to the funeral. Probably the saddest funeral I've ever been to. Tell you what I felt toward Yvette that day. I felt pity. The boy was lying there in the casket, and he was not embalmed. They don't always do that. They put ice underneath the casket. And it was very evident that he was a murder victim. They did not open the lid. There's a glass plate or something you can see through to see his face. And I went and looked in that boy's face. He had streamlets of blood from each corner of his mouth, running down to his shirt, dried. He had a white shirt on, and both collars were blood-soaked, a good part of the end of the collar. Very obvious how this young man had died. I can still picture Yvette in my mind that day. She came to the funeral late, and she wasn't dressed appropriately for a funeral. She probably didn't have funeral clothes. She came with her ball cap, her jeans. And I remember her leaning up against that casket like she needed some support. She didn't have a husband there to comfort and support her that day. She had lived the wild life. Remorse. And I remember her leaning against that casket and taking her hand and just wiping over and over on that glass. There it lay. Folks, there's remorse with sin. No husband to comfort her. No Savior, no Holy Spirit to comfort her. She chose my wife for comfort. Sat right by her during the funeral. And she told my wife, the thing that bothers me the most is realizing his soul is in hell. Remorse.
Yes.
I could have taken him to Sunday school. I could have been the mother to him. I could have been an example. She didn't say all these things. But I can just imagine.
Yes.
Folks, it's real.
Yes.
People live in sin. And they have such bitter remorse that follows. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 20. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Remorse is heavy, folks. If you end up in an eternity of remorse, it would have been good that you had never been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Verse 46, Jesus said, Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? I wonder how Judas felt when he heard the voice of Jesus. Instead of anger, instead of smiting him dead, say, Friend, for what purpose did you come? Do you suppose that put a little guilt in Judas's heart? It must have been bitter. That same loving voice that Judas had been around so long. Matthew 27 and verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor. Then Judas, which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. He finally felt remorse. When it was too late. Too many people are going to do that. When it is too late, they will feel remorse. And his reaction to remorse was he went out and destroyed his own life. Yes. I don't want to see that to happen to anybody.
Amen.
Folks, you have opportunity tonight to change and not take the same path that Judas did. Will you take the money back? Let's undo this transaction somehow. No. You see to that.
Yes.
Well, let me get rid of this money. It's like burning in my hand.
Yes.
It's condemnation money. Take it. I don't want it. You know, that's the way people are going to feel about sinful habits.
Yes.
Take it. I don't want it anymore. I'm through. But it will be too late. Remorse. I heard about a newly married couple that got into a bad argument. And the young man went out, and I don't know if he went in anger or emotional turmoil or what, but was killed in a fatal accident. Imagine what she felt. If we would have just done things right. I think of the song that says, Had I Only. I want you to consider tonight, I want to ask you, how many sins does a sinner commit in his lifetime? Is it a million? Is it a billion? Well, let's say it's a billion. And I want you to consider, if a sinner commits a billion sins in a lifetime, how long will the sinner have in hellfire to have remorse over each individual sin? If eternity was 1 billion years old, long, it would be 1 year for every sin, every lie, every sinful look of the eyes, every hateful word, 1 full year for each one. Well, the problem is, eternity doesn't stop at 1 billion years. So I want to ask you, how much remorse will you have for one sin? 1 year's worth? Won't stop, will it? No wonder the song says, bitter remorse and woe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 3, it says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The gospel is hid to those that are lost. The devil is applying soul anesthesia to many people, to where they cannot feel remorse anymore. I remember a young man while we were teenagers. He never went to an altar of prayer, never chose salvation, sat in the same chapel I did. I remember. Never tried salvation once in his life. And I remember that he told me at one time that he used to feel guilty going to the car races. And I said, "Why?" And he went on to describe how the women were dressed there. But he told me, "I don't feel guilty anymore." And I said, "Why not?" Well, he felt guilty because the saints taught against it. And when I asked him why not, he just said, "I just don't." You know what that is? He lost his remorse because the God of this world blinded his mind. The devil applied anesthesia, put him under the gas or whatever to where he was asleep spiritually and heading right on into life and eventually to eternity asleep. It's serious. Remorse is a benefit to us. If it causes us to change our ways, let's not ignore it. Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness." This is a frightening thought. Yes. Past feeling. Yes. Don't we have a song that says something about his voice so keen to feel, and something about hearing it no more? I would be afraid to get beyond the point to where I could hear the Lord's voice. Being past feeling. You know, that's what the entertainments of this world will do to you. That's what the movies will do to you. That's what using the wrong part of internet will do to you. It will put you past feeling to where you stop, those guilty feelings stop coming. Be scared when that happens. It's serious. Have you ever made a decision that you regretted bitterly? Well, some people do. They backslide. They go out into the world. They enjoy the sinful pleasures. They let their consciences become seared. But they do make it back, and thank the Lord for that. But their children, most of the time, never come back. What a price to pay. What remorse. I'm thinking of remorse tonight. Give me my birthright back. Father, just one blessing. Don't you just one blessing? All my life I grew up thinking I was going to get it. Don't you have one left for me? Remorse.
Amen.
Father, in the grave, I want to tell you I'm sorry for the way I created the scandal. I'm ashamed of my life, but He can't hear. Remorse. Just let me talk to Him one more time and tell Him I'm sorry. Take back your 30 pieces of silver. I shouldn't have done it. He was the Savior of the world. And I sold out so cheap. All this remorse that folks have. Is there anything in your life that you've regretted bitterly? Maybe you're saved and you're still having a struggle with victory over the past. The Lord has healing and peace for you.
Amen.
It's no wonder He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
The Lord wants us to have rest from remorse tonight. Even if we're saved and are looking for healing in our lives, the Lord has that, and He just says, "Come unto me. I'm going to give you rest." May the Lord bless us tonight.